Let's pray. Lord, let the meditations of our hearts, the words of my mouth, be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I think MJ's done it, right? I mean, yeah, okay. So I'll just say a few things. Okay, I have a bunch of notes taped here. So how many people have been dabbling in Christmas? How many people have put up their trees? Oh, yeah, okay. Hung the lights outside when the weather was decent. All right, so done a few of those things. How many people have bought some Christmas presents? Oh, yeah, yeah. We've had the big shopping days, whether online or in person. And so we've been dabbling, but now that it's December 1st, it's serious time. You can't hold it back now. So now the parties are coming, the shopping, the TV shows, the movies, the Hallmark movies. Right? You know, those Hallmark shows. And all of those things that are connected with Christmas, the cookies, the jingle of bells in the distance, the ringing of those bells, we hear those. And it's a time of anticipation. I anticipate snow, not the inconvenient November snow. I anticipate that soft, quiet snow, that snow that changes the smell in the air. I anticipate piped in Christmas music in the stores. I like that. And I anticipate light displays. When they put in the paper the award-winning light displays, I make a plan and we go out and we see them all because I love those things. They give me awe. It's also a time when I anticipate the children's Christmas musical that's coming up, which is just a great thing. And then also I like Christmas Eve when we put out boxes of cookies for people to take and give to people who are working on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. I love lighting the candles on Christmas Eve. So those are things I'm anticipating along the way. I'm thinking that Advent is also a time when we're remembering, because does anyone here have an ornament or two that they hang up that have a story behind them? Right, a memory? Yeah, so I've got a bunch of those. This is from when I was here. This is something someone gave me. And so often, hanging up ornaments and sometimes even decorations is an opportunity to just remember. Advent is this kind of combination of remembering and looking forward, anticipation. It's both. So the word Advent means arrival, to arrive, the arrival. And we often talk about it if we use it in language today, we talk about the advent of something. So we say, like, the advent of the smartphone has given us the ability to carry our photo album and to check the weather and to check the sports scores and to settle arguments immediately. It has given us the opportunity to communicate without ever having to talk on the phone, which is fascinating that we call it a phone. And so that the advent of that. Well, what we talk about in the Christian understanding is that Advent is a time for two things. It's a time for we celebrate the arrival of the infant Jesus, but it is also on our Christian calendar a season in which we anticipate the second coming of Christ. So it's a remembering what has happened. It is a remembering of Christ living with us, among us, and it is our understanding that we anticipate, it is a remembering forward to not only when Christ will come again, but when we will be reunited with Christ. So it's all of this kind of mix of remembering and looking forward and anticipating. This year is the 300th anniversary of a song written by Isaac Watts. He originally wrote it as a poem called Joy to the World. It's based on Psalm 98, Shout for Joy All the Earth, bursting into jubilant song. And in the song, he wrote, Let Earth Receive Her King. It's a celebration of Jesus Christ returning, but we have adapted it as an Advent and Christmas song so that we might celebrate the coming of a king. And because it is 300th anniversary, we decided that we were going to kind of make a theme around that for Advent. So each week we're going to talk about joy. Today we're talking about hopeful joy. Next week, loving joy, and then abashed joy and peaceful joy. All the way through December 29th, we're going to be talking about how we might fill our lives with joy. Now I know that Christmas can be a time where it can be so overwhelming that joy might be put by the wayside, that we don't really notice it because there is too much to do. And often we get happiness and joy confused. Happiness is given externally, and it's something that might happen for a moment or for a time, and we are extremely happy. And so, for example, you might listen to a song, you catch a song on the radio, and say, oh, that song makes me so happy, and then a commercial comes. We're not as happy anymore. We might have an event that we look forward to, a family gathering, or maybe not everyone looks forward to those, but anyway, family gathering or a dinner with friends or tickets to a sporting outing, and we're just so happy when we get there and we have a great time, and then it's done, and then we leave. I watched my 8-year-old niece open this thing. We had our family Christmas early, so open this gift, and she was so happy and so excited. It was called Five Surprise Mini Brands. Anyone? All right. Okay. You got to look this up. You can look it up now if you want. Five Surprise Mini Brands. I'm going to put down my phone so I can explain this. It boggles my mind. Okay. Picture a white plastic sphere that you break open into five separate wedges. And each wedge is sealed with a peel-back piece of paper. And inside are surprises, and they're brands. So like you can get a little tiny Wheaties box or a little tiny Kit Kat. So this plastic ball like this, you rip these things, and she was so excited, and she ripped them open, and then they were just left on the floor for people to step on. This thing cost $10. $10. Okay, I'm showing my attitude here. But anyway, I saw in that this kind of happiness that lasted as long as her little fingers could work on it. And as soon as she had ripped it all open, boom. So Georgia and I, she got two of these things. That's $20. So Georgia and I quietly, because she just left them there and they were garbage, especially that white sphere, we quietly put them in our stuff. And so for our 8-year-old granddaughter, we're going to put stuff in it and glue it back together. It's going to be great. It will cost us zero. But anyway, happiness is something that is there and then it's gone. It can be shaken. But joy is like a beautiful melody that quietly but solidly runs through our lives in the best of times and in the worst of times. It is the thing that informs us, and it can be informed by hope. So I wanted to just share a couple of scriptures with you that talk a little bit about hope. First of all, from Isaiah. This is the prophets of the Old Testament often gave very bad news. Isaiah was no exception. He talked about the fall of Judah and Jerusalem, that the city would be in siege, and it would go down, and most of the people would be taken into captivity in Babylon. It was a very, very dark time. But they always talked about hope, and so this is what Isaiah said in Isaiah 2, 1 through 5. This is what the son of Isaiah saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, that's a long time from now, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains, and it will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Think about the technical benefit of being the highest, right? It's the safest place. So someday, the temple of the Lord will be the highest place in all the world, and all the nations will stream toward that safety. Many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. God's righteousness, God's law, will become the law of all people. This is great hope for those who are being taken into captivity. And then the prophet says, God will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. He will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Oh, come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. These words in the midst of impending war and disaster were of such great comfort to cry to the people who were there, because they knew that in the end, God would triumph. It seems that hope is in perspective. One of the books that's informing me through this series is edited by Douglas Abrams. It's called The Book of Joy. It was written in 2016, and it's a recorded conversation between the Dalai Lama, religious spiritual leader for Nepal, and between Archbishop Desmond Tutu, an Anglican bishop from South Africa. They came together for 7 days, and they had this conversation across religious barriers, and this was basically what they talked about. How can you find joy in the midst of suffering in this life? Well, basically, they came to the conclusion that suffering is inevitable. For some of us here, our suffering has been long. We have endured. There are people in our families who endure. For some of us, we can say, well, I've known suffering, I've known grief, and I've long known loss, and I've known pain, waiting for surgery or an absence of that pain. So I understand suffering. What the two of these spiritual leaders say is that suffering is part of human life. It is just here, but it is perspective that can change it and bring us joy. They suggest even that if we are a compassionate people, and if we recognize our own sadness and admit it, that in that perspective, we will find a hopeful joy. This is what Paul said when he wrote to the Romans. He wrote this letter, and I'm going to use the Message translation because it just makes me smile. He was telling them that they have to be ready, they have to be a hopeful people, and this is the way he put it. But make sure that you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of your day-by-day obligations that you lose track of time and doze off, oblivious to God. The night is about over. Dawn is about to break. Be up and awake to what God is doing. God is putting the finishing touches on the salvation work God began when we first believed. We can't afford to waste a minute. Must not squander these precious daylight hours in frivolity and indulgence, in sleeping around in dissipation. I don't know, it sounds like Thanksgiving. In bickering and grabbing everything in sight. That sounds like Black Friday. Get out of bed and get dressed. Don't loiter and linger, waiting until the very last minute. Dress yourselves in Christ and be up and about. What he's suggesting is that we need to be watching and anticipating, living in hope that Christ will come. Christ lives among us, and we take that message out into the world in the way that we live. So Isaiah says, watch, because things are bad now, but live in hope, because they will get better and God will prevail. The letter to the Romans says that we are to be a people who are ready at any minute to express our joy in Christ. I had this opportunity this week to maybe experience a little bit of that joy and a little bit of that anticipation. We spent our Thanksgiving with my family up in the Thumb. And around Wednesday, my sister-in-law called and she said, your childhood home is up for sale. And I got the realtor, and she's willing to let us see it at 10 o'clock on Friday. I'm like, so cool. This is so cool. The house had been foreclosed, so it was empty, and it had some things done to it. So there wasn't any furniture. We weren't inconveniencing a family. And the realtor was very kind to let us. So I was so excited to see my childhood home. So I went up. We went up there. There were three cars of us. We pull in the driveway. The realtor's waiting. We wipe our shoes, and we go in, and wow. Okay, first of all, if anyone's ever done this, you know it was smaller than I remember. Yeah, it was real small. Four kids, one bathroom, three little tiny rooms, bedrooms. And we walked around and we stood in the kitchen. And I said things like, this is where Dad sat and watched the bird feeders out this window. We were in the living room and I put my hand on the mantelpiece where our stockings hung. We went into my brother's room with his kids and we said, okay, so the bunk beds were against this wall and there's no closets. That's right. We didn't need as many things as we used to, you know, as we do today. We went through the house and memories. I went outside and I walked on the yard where my mom used to have a huge garden that we resented having to work in. So he just walked around and remembered, and it was a joyful time. So that anticipation and those remembrances come. This is what we talk about when we talk about Advent. Isaac Watts said this in his poem, Joy to the World: "Let every heart prepare him room." Preparing room for Jesus Christ in our hearts is an act of hope. Because as we prepare room, we expect that Christ will come. I looked around that house when we went to visit it, and they'd made some changes in 30 years, thank goodness. But this is what I saw they had done to help someone fall in love with this house. It was completely repainted. You could smell the fresh paint. It was painted in all the trendy colors. It was spotlessly clean. There was a brand new vanity in the bathroom, and there were ceiling fans, brand new, hung. And I went out into the utility room, and I looked, and I actually looked at the inspection date and stuff, and I said, oh man, this is a brand new furnace, brand new. Why'd they prepare all that stuff? So someone would walk in that house and say, this is our home. Look how beautiful it is. Don't we do the same kind of preparation as an act of hope when we invite people to our homes, whether we're having them for dinner or for an event or even to spend the night? So okay, maybe some of you are not as fussy, but you put the nice soap out in the guest bathroom, right? You hang up the towels that don't have like the frayed, you know, frayed. You vacuum the pet hair out of the guest room. You do a few things. You cut up vegetables, even ones you don't like, because someone else likes them. And you do all these things because you want your guests to feel welcome and comfortable and wanted. Wanted. So imagine Advent as a season where we are making room in our hearts. It is an act of hope. Because we expect that when we make room, Christ will come and live in here. So if things are a little dusty, this is the time we clean it out. If there's some kind of bad smell going on, we figure out what it is and we get rid of it. This is the time where we take away the clutter and the burdens and we say, Christ, we're open for you. Because Christ came incarnate in the flesh to show us the very person of God. Christ died and rose again to set us free so that we might know new life, that we might know a sustained joy, that we might offer acts of hope and live in hope. And so, your acts of hope may be as simple as singing some new songs. It might be changing prayers. It might be a group of friends or family lighting an Advent candle with some liturgy every Sunday. It might be those acts of remembrance as you put those ornaments on the tree. But whatever it is, I invite you to commit to acts of hope that clean out the heart and prepare room for Jesus Christ. I challenge you to think about what is the one thing you could do this week, take some space, that might open your heart to receiving. Because I think if we do, I know that if we do, as an act of hope, the joy will come. Amen. Before we start our time of prayer, I want to read to you just a little reflection, and then we're going to take some time for silence, and then we'll go to prayer. The title of our worship series this December is Heaven and Nature Sing. It's from the hymn Joy to the World. The first line appears in Holy Scripture in Psalm 98, Heaven and Nature Sing. Nature is filled with metaphors that help us to see our spiritual journey. The coming of spring out of the dead of winter, the beauty and diversity of all that is, the growing and blossoming of plants well tended. Each week we'll use a symbol from nature that's part of the Christmas tradition, and this week we consider the Christmas wreath, and if you look, those who decorated for Advent, we are literally surrounded by wreaths. They're all around us. And it goes back to ancient traditions. In Rome, it was a People would hang wreaths on their doors, and it was a sign of status. Those who had known power in Greece, a wreath was a gift that symbolized victory given to athletes who had won the race. Today, we might think of the wreath in a couple of ways. One is a symbol of unity as a circle unbroken. It's an adornment that reminds us of life in the midst of winter, colorful and alive. And with the Christmas wreath, we remember that true victory is when all people and all creation are recognized as beloved of God through Jesus Christ, when all nature sings. So I invite you to join me in entering a time of silence and to think about these questions. What could we do today as an act of hope? And if you had a choice anywhere in this world to hang a Christmas wreath as a sign of God's victory, where would you hang it? Lord Jesus, come. Come in this season of Advent, come. Keep our eyes and hearts open. Help us to prepare you room. Be in our memories. Be in our joyful present. And by your grace, help us to remember forward to when we will see you face to face. Connect us, Lord, in a hope that comes from you, and sustain us through that hope. We ask that your love might reach out to our friends and family who need a bit of hope in this season, who have lost joy. Give us wisdom, the right things to say, the right things to do, that we might help you in raising them up. We ask your hope to spread out through this world to places of darkness that we don't even know about, places where people quietly are in loss and mourning, in pain and loneliness. For those who struggle, let your spirit be strong. For those who have everything, and yet their happiness is temporal, let your spirit be strong. Move into this world, Lord, gently if you must, like a newborn babe, but come with the force of God. Come. Come with the strength of an enduring spirit. Come. We open our hearts to you. We pray the world might be open to you. This is our hope, and it is where we find joy. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.